All right, so we are in week number 3 of our series that we have titled Cherry Picking. And in this series, we're looking at a few scriptures from the New Testament that seem to be consistently cherry-picked out of Scripture. I think the first week we talked about what cherry-picking was, and if you're not familiar with the concept, it means that you're taking a small segment of Scripture, pulling it out, and then sticking it on maybe like a tattoo or a car decal or whatever, and then or like you put it on your mirror and you say it every day. It's things that are taken out of context, but when you put it back into the Bible and you put it in its correct context, we might learn that these scriptures say something different than what we thought they originally said. And the honest truth is that we all do it. I do it, you do it. Everybody cherry picks scriptures so that we can feel better about ourselves and the things that we're dealing with in our lives. So in week number 1, we talked about Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, right? Week number 2, we covered Romans 8:28. That says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And so if you've missed any of these messages up to this point, feel free to go back. You can listen to the podcast version of them on the project.church/messages. And so you can get on there and you can listen to all those and get caught up. This week, we're going to be talking about money. Money. Doom, 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 doom. Or they'll hack it. No. Are you going to act out the whole service? Do I need to have somebody come sit by you, sir? This week, we're going to talk about money. Now, before you get up and leave, I want to make you a few promises. Promise number one is this. I will not make you feel bad about how much or how little you give to Project Church. I will not do that in this message. Promise number two is this. We will not be taking a special offering at the end of this message. There will be no plates, no buckets, no, what are those things called that have the two handles and the thing? The little offering offertories. There will be none of that. We've already gone through the giving spiel. I'm not going to do it again. All right. And then number three, I promise we're not in the middle of a building project. So, like, this message has no bearings on any of those things. All right. So, what is today's scripture? And there's actually two that I'm going to cover today. And we constantly take these two out of context. And they actually, if you think about it, when you take them both out of context, they actually contradict one another. But when you put them back into context in the scripture, they actually agree with one another. So if you were to cherry pick one of these, and you were to cherry, someone else was to cherry pick the other, you would have opposing views, which is kind of interesting. All right, so let's read the first one. It's 1 Timothy 6:10. And it says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from faith and perceived themselves with many griefs." Pierced themselves with many griefs. So, what is being cherry-picked out of the scripture? That money is evil, right? Money is evil. But you see, there's a problem with that concept, that money is evil, because money is an object. Objects cannot be evil, right? And so because objects can't be evil, that means that money in itself cannot be evil. So what is evil in this scripture? Well, it's the condition of our hearts, right? It's the condition of our hearts that we have to contest with. So let's read around the scripture for some context to figure out what this might be actually saying. 1 Timothy 6:3-19. "But godliness with contentment is a great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from their faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life which you were called to when you were made in your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives to everything, and of Jesus Christ, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and the only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and lives in an approachable light, whom has never seen or can see, to him be the honor and might forever. Amen. Commend those who are rich in the presence of this world not to be arrogant, nor put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. So when we put this all in context and we look at the overarching scripture, it's not saying that money is evil. It's saying that it's really easy to fall away from God when you are rich. When we pursue those things, when we pursue money, when we pursue wealth, when we're willing to do whatever it takes to get to the top, that's when we lose sight of what God is really calling us to do. And despite the overwhelming evidence to the contrary, people still believe that money will bring you happiness. Rich people craving greater riches can be caught in an endless cycle that only ends in ruin and destruction. So, how can you keep away from the love of money? Number one is this: realize that daily riches will all be gone. That one day your riches will all be gone. One day it's not going to matter how much money is in your bank account, because you'll be dead. Right? It's not going to matter how much money is in your bank account. Now, your kids might care how much money was in your bank account when you die, but it's not going to make a difference for you, is it? Number two is this: be content with what you have. Be content with what you have. Number three, monitor what you are willing to do to get more money. Monitor your ethics. Monitor your ability to check yourself. Are the things that I'm doing to pursue money honoring God? Number four, love people more than money. Like, I could end the sermon on that. Love people more than you love money. Love God, God's work, more than you love money. And then lastly, freely share what you have with others. It's not saying that rich people are evil. It's not saying that if you have a job that is really, really good and you get paid well, that you are evil. It's saying, what is the condition of your heart? What is the condition of your heart? What are you doing to honor God with your money? It's often helpful to distinguish between needs and wants as well when it comes to our money. We may have all have needs in our lives, but some of those things that we say that we need, we don't actually really, really need, do we? They're just kind of wants. But you see, we can become anxious and discontented over what we have because we want more, and we want more, and we want more. See, like Paul, we can choose to be content without having everything that we want, because the alternative is to be a slave to our desires. So because it's not money that's evil, it's our desire for money that is can become evil, we are constantly frustrated that we don't have enough, and we're willing to compromise our values in the pursuit of money. That is what is evil, and there's a word for that. What's that word? Greed. I heard it. Greed. You see, greed leads to all kinds of evil. It leads to marriage problems, it leads to robberies, it leads to blow-ups and partnerships. And to master greed, you must control it and rip it up from its roots. See, money, stuff, things, possessions, none of that is our source of happiness in this life. God is. So, what's the other scripture, Matt? It's Luke 6:38. It says this. Give, and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, and it will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Well, that sounds really cool. So if I give, and I give, and I give, and I give, it's going to be given back to me, and it's going to be like overflowing, and it's going to be like dumping money into my lap. This is going to be great. No. You see, many church pastors use this scripture when it's time to raise money for the new helicopter. When it's time for the new building project, when it's time for the children's pastor to get a raise, right? They're going to talk to you about money, and they're going to say, hey, if you just give $5 more a month, just give $100 more a week, and he's going to pour more money back in your lap, and it's going to be amazing. You're not going to believe it. It's going to be the best thing ever. This is called prosperity gospel. And I will admit, it's a really good fundraiser. A really, really, really good fundraiser strategy. But I will warn you, if you ever attend a church that is teaching this prosperity gospel, you should second guess your participation in that church. So once again, let's read around this scripture. Luke 6:37 through 38. Do not judge. What? And you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Wait. This scripture is not about money at all? It's not about money? Put it in context. What is it talking about? Right before it talks about pressed down, shaken together, running over, poured into your lap. What is it talking about? Grace. It's talking about grace. We have to put this into context to understand what it's talking about. When we put verse 38 into context, we see that it's grace. Do not judge, do not condemn, for if you give grace, it will be given to you. For with the measure of grace you use, it will be measured back to you. Huh. Interesting. So the amount of grace that we put in is the amount of grace that we get back. Well, this is why cherry picking is so dangerous, right? I've told this story so many times before, but it fits so well with what we're talking about. I'm going to tell it again. Some of you haven't heard this story, but like 10 years ago, Carrie and I went to Guatemala. And we had never experienced anything. Like, we'd been to places where there were people who were poor and living in poverty in America. But when you get to Guatemala and you get to some of these small villages and you see the living conditions of the people who are there, it's heartbreaking. And you don't quite understand the severity of their situation because there's nothing like it here in the U.S. There's nothing like it. And I can remember there was one day that I wasn't digging a massive ditch that I got to go out with a medical missions team. And so they would stand in line for hours to see the doctor, Doc Noonan, who's here in Clarksville, and his team. And so my job was, when they came out, then I was praying for people as they came out of the clinic. And so these people are lined up. They'd walked for miles and miles and miles to get there. They're seeing the doctor, they're getting their medicines, and they're coming out. And we give them food, but then we're offering to pray with them. And so we prayed for this one lady. And when we get done praying for her, she looks up at me and she says, "I hope that God blesses you today, or I hope that God blesses you more than what you blessed me with today." And I'm like, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, that was her prayer for me, was that God was going to bless me more than what I blessed her with. And so it took me some time to process this thought, because I'm like, this lady has literally nothing to give, and she's giving a blessing to me that she wants God to bless me. And so I'm like, well, okay, let's think about this for a minute. I spent a whole bunch of money to get here. I bought a plane ticket. Like, it's costing me a whole bunch of money to do this mission trip. Maybe God's going to bless me financially. Maybe that's what the blessing's going to be. This is going to be awesome. God's going to bless me. It's going to be great. There's going to be more money in my pocket. This is fantastic, right? And then I was like, well, maybe that's wrong. Maybe that's not what it is. And so I'm sitting on the plane ride at home, and it's a long flight. And I'm just processing this. Like, I can't get it out of my head. Like, I see her face. I see her telling me this. And I'm like, okay, God, what is it? What is it? And he said, don't you realize that I've opened your eyes to see the need? You see, the blessing wasn't a financial blessing. It wasn't a blessing of health or prosperity. It was a blessing of knowledge. God blessed me with knowledge to know what it's like to live like these people live, with nothing, and yet they are happy. Why? Because they have to trust in God. They are required to trust in God, because what else are they going to do, right? They don't have money to pull out of their pocket to put in a savings account. They don't have food a lot of the times. Every single meal that they get is a prayer. God, will you provide breakfast for me today? God, will you provide lunch for me today? God, will you provide dinner for me today? God, will you bless me with some soap? God, will you bless me with the essential things that you and I take for granted every single day? They're praying for. They're praying for their basic needs. And guess what? They're happy. Why? Because God comes through. Period. I did notice while we were there that a lot of the wealthy people don't attend church. Why do we think that is? Because they don't have to pray for breakfast. They don't have to pray for lunch. They can trust their wallet instead of trusting in God. They know what they have in here, and so they're not reliant upon God to provide anything, because they're providing for themselves. So why do I need God if I have my wallet? Well, money is a fickle thing, because it can be here today and gone tomorrow. So let's recap here. Money is not evil. It can be used in positive ways. If you have a job and you make a lot of money, it's not evil to have that job. God has blessed you so you can go and bless others. God is not in the business of lottery tickets, right? He will not give us scratch-off tickets if we keep dumping money into the church, right? You're not going to win the lottery if you give a whole bunch of money. Now, I'm not telling you not to give a whole bunch of money, because we do operate a nonprofit organization out of this building. If you want to do that, God bless you. But it's not a lottery ticket. I'm not going to guarantee you that he's going to dump a whole bunch of money back into your pocket if you do the same. But here's a few things that Jesus did say about money. Mark 10, 23 through 25. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?" The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Once again, why is it hard for people, rich people, to enter the kingdom of God? Because when you have a lot of possessions, and you have a lot of money, and you have a lot of power, it's really, really hard to give it up, isn't it? It's hard. It's hard because instead of relying on God for your needs, you can rely upon yourself. See, when we are rich, it is easy to say that we no longer need God because God becomes irrelevant because we don't have to rely on him for our basic needs. And so we have this perceived happiness because we're well off, but it's not true happiness because God is the only one that can bring that true peace. So we separate ourselves from God and we lose our ability to be generous with others. Once again, it's not impossible to be rich and be a part of the kingdom of God. That's here now. It just takes a lot of discipline. It takes deep, deep roots. And I have a news flash for you. I would dare to say most of you in this room, if we were to look at the global context, are rich. Now, you may not think that. Your bank account may not think that, right? But every single one of us in this room, like I don't blink an eye when I go to my fridge and I pull out sandwich meat and I make myself a sandwich. I don't pray, "God, bless me with a sandwich today." I just go get the sandwich and I eat it, right? Check this out. Mark 12, 41 through 44. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw large amounts, but a poor widow came and put two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all of the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live on." See, this story is seen as a lesson on perspective and reevaluating yourself and how things are valued in the kingdom of God, which is different than how we view it in this wider society. You see, the world is going to tell us that we need to hoard things up, right? Like, that's the natural thing to do. What do squirrels do before winter hits? They store a bunch of nuts, don't they? They're so cute. They go and they dig and they hide their nuts and they can't find them. And then trees grow. We do the same thing. It's natural for us. Like, it's a natural thing for us to want to store things up. And so we stockpile our food, and we stockpile our toilet paper, and we stockpile all these other essential items, and we make sure that we've got an inventory of things. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were like, "Yeah, I have a spreadsheet for all of my ammunition." And I'm like, "What? You have a spreadsheet?" Like, I get if you like shooting and you like hunting, like, I understand having a lot of ammunition. There's nothing wrong with that. But you have a spreadsheet? You have so much that you have to keep a spreadsheet? Now, don't mishear me. There's nothing wrong with having things. There's nothing wrong with having stuff, right? And there is wisdom in having a savings account, a retirement account, and having investments. Because here's the reality. The world isn't perfect. If the world was perfect, we wouldn't even need money, right? We wouldn't need money because we would just share with one another and we would have everything that we could ever want or need. But because the world is not perfect, we have to deal with this. We have to deal with money. And if the world was perfect, we wouldn't need all of those things. However, there is a story, a great example of what Jesus is calling us to do. Because it's not just about money, it's about giving ourselves fully over to God. To go all in, to give freely of ourselves, our time, our resources, our talent, and our money to be generous. You see, giving isn't about a certain amount. It's not about a percentage. You see, giving is about being generous with our whole selves. It's about giving everything that we have to offer over to God and yielding to the Spirit and listening for that still small voice to tell us what to do. You see, God might ask you to give to Project Community, and that's great. We would love for you to do that. But he might also call you to give to Safe Haven. Or he might call you to give to the CIC or the Ozark Rape Crisis Center. And guess what? That's okay. I give you permission, right? Because I want you to listen to the Spirit. Because God, it's true, God will bless your gifts. But the blessings, just like my story, may not come in the form of money. Open your eyes to see the blessings that are around you when you are being generous, because I promise they are all around you. And if it's financially, when you're giving financially, the blessing that comes back to you may not be in the form of finances. The blessing might be in the fact that you get to see someone else have lunch today. It's a blessing. You see, God does want to bless you, but just be open and give yourself fully to him and see what he won't do. I've got one more scripture for you as I close today. It's Matthew 6:19 through 24. It says, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." I think that explains it all. Where your treasures are, there your heart will be also. It's a condition of our heart. Who do we serve? Are you chasing after money? Are you chasing after stuff? Or are you chasing after God? Where is your focus? What is it that you treasure, right? Do you treasure seeing others succeed? Do you treasure generosity? Do you treasure loving others? What is the condition of your heart when it comes to money? I want to say a prayer, and then the band's going to come back, and we're going to do one more song today. If you would, go ahead and bow your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you give us so many blessings. And God, we truly do trust in you. But help us, God, to see, even in the small things, even in a daily basis, God, you are the one providing. Because the reality is, God, is that none of this belongs to us. None of our stuff, none of our money, our lives, our houses, our cars, God, they all belong to you. So help us to use your stuff to bless others in this world. Because we do trust that you are a good father and that you provide us with everything that we need. And all we have to do in return is love you and love others. God, you taught us to pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who've sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. Help us to realize, God, that you are the one that provides that daily bread. Every single day, God, we should be grateful for the things that you have provided for us. Help us, God, to trust that you are the one that will see it through. God, we don't have to stockpile. We don't have to do all of these things here on earth because we know, God, that you are truly the one who will provide. It's these things we ask in your name. Amen.